Some years ago, it was the in thing to have a unique pet in your refrigerator. Yes, in your refrigerator. One needed to take a very good care of this pet, to feed it, to water it, clean its home quite often, and of course, provide for its own safe place. Interesting thing is that this pet never needed to be walked or even taken to a vet. And some have taken to name this pet. Barbara had one of these pets in her refrigerator for a time. And we thoroughly enjoyed the fruits of this pet. But then we had to get rid of it, so to speak. The pet to which I'm referring is an oozy, gooey, yeasty, sharp-smelling, sour starter lump of... You know. I've heard it called, what, Amish Farm Fresh Bread or something? Okay. There was another name that we used to be called by, and I can't remember it at the moment, but you get the idea. It was dough. Before the days of just being able to purchase flat packets of yeast, the only way to keep yeast around for baking breads, rolls, what have you, was to keep alive a living lump of yeast-filled dough. Yeast kept in this manner would survive for decades. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus shares with us a parable, a teaching about this unique bit of chemistry and its effect not only on dough, that would be the here and now, the reality, on a spiritual level, but on us as followers of Christ as well. I will read to you this one sentence parable. And after I read it, I will ask you what word, words, or phrase will just pop out at you, just strike you differently than the rest of the words that have a significant meaning or something that you weren't aware of before. Okay? And the parable is this. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. Okay? What word or words popped out at you? Yes. Okay? There are no correct or incorrect answers, by the way.
Okay.
All?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else?
Faith.
I'm sorry?
Faith.
Forgive me, I'm sorry.
Faith.
Faith? Okay. Anything else? Okay. Like I said, there's no right or correct answer or wrong answers. I thank you for your contributions. Now, I always give you a purpose for hearing, right? The teacher in me, all right? Now, listen for the words and their meanings that you just gave me and a few others that you didn't, okay? This short one-sentence parable from Matthew 13:33 is heavily loaded with much history of the Hebrew people as well as the prophecy for Christ's church in the world. So given the time we have, we will unpack this parable a wee bit. A quite common interpretation of this parable is that the leaven represents the gospel and the woman is the church. The church, of course, is to take the gospel out into the world, which is represented by the 3 pecks of flour. Peck is a half a bushel, if you recall. Like yeast in dough, the gospel eventually works its way into all the world until the world is touched by it. Sounds nice, doesn't it? So simple. So what's wrong with this interpretation of the parable? Answer? Everything. First, we need to deal with a bit of terminology here. The kingdom of heaven. What is that? The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of Christ. The earthly aspect, the earthly characteristic of God's kingdom. Matthew uses this phrase in his gospel some 32 times. We pray for the coming of his kingdom in the Lord's Prayer. It is also accepted that Christ's kingdom is not only future, but also present. Present through Christ's believers. You and me. The church. Where the king is, so is the kingdom. Whose land do we occupy? Who is the creator, owner of this world? Christ the King. Therefore, we who follow Christ are members of his kingdom. Therefore, this parable is directed to us, his followers, the church. Okay, back to the parable. The kingdom of heaven, the church, is like leaven. What is leaven? Leaven is another term for yeast. Once yeast enters the dough, what happens? It rises. Puffs up. And also decays quickly if not consumed within a relatively short period of time. Bread made from dough without leaven, without yeast, can have a shelf life for many months. So, what meaning for yeast is Jesus applying here? Jesus, of course, knew his scriptures, which at that time was what we call the Old Testament. So, to the Old Testament we go. From Exodus 12, verses 14 and 15. Now, this day, he's making reference to the Passover. So, we're talking about the Passover. This day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. Wow. That's a harsh consequence. Why? At the Passover in Egypt, God saved his people Israel from the Egyptians to be his own people through whom he made himself known. But to be God's people, they were to be a pure people. But to be God's people, they had to be a pure people. And here in Exodus 12, 14 and 15, we read that at the Passover, Yahweh God required his people to eat for 7 days bread that contained no leaven, no yeast. Why? Some commentators attempt to make the case that the Hebrews were in such a hurry to leave Egypt that there was no time allowed to allow bread to rise. Now, I'm not a cook nor a baker. Barbie easily attests to that. Oftentimes, more than I care to admit, I have to ask her what I'm eating, and that just happened last night at supper. So to the cooks and bakers present here today, I ask you, does it take 7 days for bread dough to rise? Thumb down, right? No? So therefore, God's directive is not time related. There's something else going on here. Yeast or leaven? What does it do to bread dough? Yeast causes fermentation of the dough. Fermentation, a form of decay, a form of what it does is converts carbohydrates into alcohol and organic acids. Yeast, leaven, corrupts the dough. Yeast deteriorates the dough. Yeast causes decay in the dough, and it is not, and if not consumed soon, it will become inedible. The people of God were to be pure and wholesome, as dough without leaven, as dough without yeast, uncorrupted dough. From Leviticus chapter 2, verse 4, we read, "Now, when you bring an offering of a grain offering," it's one of the most common sacrifices, offerings that the people of Israel can make to our Lord God, the grain offering, "baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers spread with oil." The three pecks of flour Jesus mentioned references the preparation of a grain offering such as given in Leviticus 14:10. It is important to note that this meal offering, this grain offering, was presented as a sacrifice by the priest, by the clergy of the temple. Given this background, maybe we can understand that when the disciples heard what Jesus just said in a parable, they must have been shocked. For they knew the rubrics of the most common offerings in Israel. The meal offering of three measures of unleavened flour. A grain offering offered to God shall be without yeast, without leaven. God abhors leavened bread. God's teaching shines through that the Eucharist, for the bread we use is unleavened, contains no yeast. Unleavened bread, uncorrupted bread, for the people who yearn and strive to live uncorrupted lives. Yeast, leaven, is a symbol of evil, a symbol of corruption, forbidden by Yahweh God as a sacrifice. From John 6:33, we read that, "For the bread of God, in which he is he which came down from heaven to give life to the world." Jesus is the bread of life. The meal offering of Leviticus was a prophetic Christ bringing life to the world, but his work is being corrupted by the world's leaven. Back to the parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took. Who's the woman of this parable? For what does she symbolize? From Zechariah chapter 5, verses 5 and 8, we read, "Then the angel who was speaking with me went out and said to me, 'Lift up now your eyes and see what is this is going forth.' And I said, 'What is it?' And he said, 'This is the ephah,'" which is a lead container about the size of a peck, "'going forth.' And he said, 'This is their appearance in all the land. And behold, a lead cover was lifted up, and this is a woman in sitting inside the ephah.' And then he said, 'This is wickedness.' And he threw her down into the middle of the ephah and cast the lid weight down on its opening." From this reading, we learn that a woman was hiding inside a container used for carrying grain. Her presence polluted, corrupted the grain, and Yahweh God declared her to be wickedness. Notice that the use of the term woman denotes symbolizes a negative nuance. The term woman symbolizes evil and wickedness. However, Christ declared that his church is to be his bride, which is a positive nuance. To further support Jesus' teaching, we read from the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, chapter 17, verses 3 to 6. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. And on her forehead a name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman, drunk with blood of the saints, and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered greatly. In each instance, Old Testament, New Testament, the term woman, symbolically refers to evil and wickedness and is often referred to as the great harlot, the false church within the church. In its historical context, this parable makes reference to the preparation of a meal offering as described in Leviticus, and what is not stated that only the Levites, only the priests, the clergy of that day were permitted to present such an offering. And going back to our parable, what does the woman do? What does she do? And the woman took and what? What's the word? Hid. On the sly. Sneaking 3 measures of leaven, 3 measures of yeast into this grain offering. This act by the woman is contrary to the law of God we just read. What was done by the woman was no accident, but a deliberate act of malice and premeditation. The woman took leaven and purposely, secretly put it into the flour. And then she would give it to the clergy, this polluted offering, give it to the clergy, unbeknownst what she did, as an offering to God. Devious. Whose work is that? Jesus, through this parable, is teaching that Satan's goal is to poison our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Later in this Gospel of Matthew, Jesus expands upon the meaning of leaven. From Matthew 16, 11 through 12, we read, "How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The Pharisees taught that human traditions trumped God's law. I mean, after all, they only created 600 of them, you know, and then became the police of the temple, and said, "You're not doing that one, you're not doing this one, you're not." Okay. That's the Pharisees. The Sadducees taught that there was no resurrection. That's why they are sad, you see. The disciples, and now us, understand that when Jesus used the term leaven, he was referring to evil and wickedness, false teachings and lies. Jesus warns us to be aware of the evil wickedness of the leaven, of the false teachings by the Pharisees and Sadducees, who are the priests, the clergies and seminary teachers of Jesus' day. But we don't need to be concerned about that, do we? And We don't have any such false teachings occurring with the church today, do we? The events of the General Assembly of the Anglican Church in North America, recently held in Wheaton, Illinois, told us otherwise through very dramatic means. The consecration of a bishop by primates from around the world. What an impressive sight that was. From around the world. To be sent, this bishop, to be sent to the British Isles and eventually to Europe to challenge false teachings of the church occurring there. And we are facing these same challenges here at home, as we all know so well. Just as the woman hid the leaven, attempted to hide evil and false teachings, so today false teachings continue to infect and spread its disease in Christ's church. We need to be ever vigilant and alert to what is being taught to God's people. The Apostle Paul shares with us thoughts about what we are to do. And from his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, we read, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven nor with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Remember hearing these words before? Where? When I or the priest takes the priest host wafer and we break it. And the priest says, "Alleluia, Christ our Passover sacrificed for us." The response is, right out of St. Paul. As a little leaven spreads throughout the entire lump of dough, so a little evil has the potential to spread throughout the entire church. Jesus calls us to repent and to change our ways. Christ our Passover, Christ our Redeemer, Christ our Savior has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, we are to celebrate. Celebrate the feast, to celebrate and give thanks for the loving sacrifice of Jesus. But not with the old leaven, not with the bread of malice and wickedness, not with the bread of evil, but with unleavened bread, the pure bread of sincerity and truth, the unleavened and pure bread of God's Word. Let us not deceive ourselves. There will always be leaven in the lump of the church and in our government and in our culture. And as these institutions grow, they will increasingly become corrupted. Even at the time of Christ's return, the Lord knows that it will be difficult to find real faith on the earth. From Luke 18, we read, "When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on earth?" Through our own experiences, through our own personal observations of what is occurring around us, many churches simply are not paying attention to what Satan is doing. Such churches are easily led down the path of legalism, liberalism, and materialism, rather than by the Scriptures. We are to worship in spirit. We are to worship in truth, always on guard for Satan's devious acts. So until Jesus comes to remove this leaven, to remove all forms of evil and wickedness, our defense, given to us by St. Paul, is to put on the whole armor of God, to know and to obey God's word, and be in communion with others, and to stand for the faith. Taking our stand will not become easier in these last days, but stand for the faith we must. Such is one aspect of our calling to be disciples of Christ. And now to God, who is forever Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.